just with regard to Muriel's report, Muriel, I think we've, within the adult services program, a number of the staff, as you mentioned, Gary and Mark in particular, Gary Allen, Mark Rafferty, are working to identify as part of our intake process for new clients, anyone who might be eligible for access through technology. And so it would be great. The rehabilitation teachers were hoping that you could join us at a upcoming staff meeting in the adult services program to go over some of the eligibility issues. So we'll be in touch.
That would be great. Yeah, that would be great. I would love to do that.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess I'm all set. So thank you, everyone, and everyone have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you, Muriel.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Hannah Pyle. We're going to move on to the expenditure through September 30th. Chris, your input, please.
Sure. Thank you very much. So if you, we did send out the financial report along with the minutes from the prior meeting and the agenda in this most recent packet that Lisa Drew dispensed, and I'll just have I'm happy to go through expenditures in what we call state fiscal year 2024. So that would be expenditures to date in this current fiscal year. So for our vendors on the program, Communication Advocacy Network has so far billed and been reimbursed for $11,521.07. The Connecticut Institute for the Blind has not billed yet. The United Cerebral Palsy Association has billed to date $1,393.81. And Elizabeth Hilton, acting as conservator for one of our clients, has billed $328.50. In addition, this is very likely primarily for interpreter services, American School for the Deaf, $1,416, COSINE, $1,440 to date. Any questions on those expenditures? The remaining, by the way, there are total expenditures to date, $15,799.38.
Chris, I have a question. Do you mind to repeat that last number, Chris?
Yeah, expenditures to date for the current fiscal year, $15,799.38.
Perfect, thank you.
If we can pause for a moment so the interpreters can switch. Okay, we're ready to go.
Okay. Barbara?
Yes, I have a question. NWI Global, could you explain what NWI Global is?
So, let me see.
Chris, so this is Margie. If you want, NWI Global is the CART services. It's when Jesse Stanley uses like real time translation, and he can change the font. He can change like how fast it's coming out. Anything that to allow him to have access to the technology and access to communication, like right now. That is specifically for him. We don't use it for any other clients right now.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I sort of, I should have mentioned them, even though they haven't billed yet to date. They're part of the, if you will, the entities that facilitate communication for our meetings and gatherings. Yeah.
I have question. This is Lisa. Hi, this is Lisa speaking. I just want to clarify about the interpreting expenses. I believe it was about $15,000 for ASD. I mean, were they interpreting at ASD? I guess I'm a little confused. $15,000 is a lot of money to expend on interpreting services. I was just curious.
Yeah, that was actually, that was $1,416. Sorry, I should have clarified that.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
The other
$15,000.
Well, the other was $1,400 as well. So it's actually on interpreter services. It's $2,856.
Okay, thank you. It just wasn't very clear to me what that was for. So thank you for clarifying that, Chris. I appreciate
sure.
it.
You bet.
Okay, I have a question, Chris. This is Hannah Tyler. I'm looking at the chart, and I noted you have 1, 2, 3, 4 that have a zero. We have such a large balance left over.
What's happening? I can explain the. For one of, if you work up from the bottom, we have a guardian for whose, the person for whom she's acting as guardian is able to be served. But she's having apparently a great deal of difficulty in recruiting service providers for, in this case, it's her brother for whom she acts as guardian. So she has yet to bill us at all. And the second up from the bottom, New England Low Vision, is a vendor of equipment. I'm not exactly sure why they're on this. We, you know, have occasionally, in unusual circumstances, purchased equipment, but we do not have, we don't have a budget, if you will, for equipment purchases. And then Connecticut Institute for the Blind is obviously a vendor for quite a number of clients, but they have yet to bill us for services provided to those clients in the current fiscal year. And finally, NWI Global, that's as DeMargie was just saying, that's the card services, which is a communication facilitation service. And I imagine that it's very likely that they haven't billed us this year because we didn't have our first meeting of the year of this fiscal year until today. So they will be billing us quite soon for, I'm assuming, for the services that are being used, as Margie said in this case, by Jesse today. But we haven't had a meeting prior to today because the first meeting of this current fiscal year was postponed, or canceled, I should say, the one in September.
This is Margie speaking. So those numbers are from the for up to September 30th. There are still like October, November, December. There are expenditures, but they have not been like cleared.
Yeah.
They did go through our fiscal department, but they have not cleared. So we can't say what those. Right now, it's roughly about $35,000, $37,000, somewhere in that range right now, but they have not actually cleared, and I don't have the report. But that's things that I have sent, forward to be processed, but I just haven't gotten the okay that they've been paid. So that's why they're not being reported on, because they haven't been, cleared.
thank you, Margie. So we're at about $30,000 of the total having been used.
This is Barbara. I wish that was not going to be my question. I'm just wondering when we would know exactly how much that total was. You're estimating about $30,000, but I would be curious to know where that extra money that hasn't been paid out yet was used. Is there any way to send out like an update once those numbers come through?
You know, we could even just to respond. I mean, Margie is the person who's currently signing off on those, and she and I could, I'm sure, put together something perhaps in advance of our next meeting, but maybe through December 30th, we could track, even though it would be unofficial, I think is probably the best word, but we would be able to know what's been billed if you'd like us to do that, Barbara.
This is Carol.
Go ahead.
So end of December is the end of a quarter, and it would be easier for fiscal to pull a report at the end of every quarter. So pulling reports in the middle of a quarter, it's a real gray area. So that's why we only get them at the end of quarters. Otherwise, they would be estimates. So once December ends and that quarter ends, we can send out an updated budget report.
That would be helpful since there is no one here from Oak Hill to, you know, explain or say any reasons for why they haven't spent any money as yet. I surmise that it has to do with a staffing issue, but with Kathy as guardian for two, and of course we're guardian, I'm guardian for Peter, we'll have to, you know, check with them to see what's happening. But staffing issues is what I have a feeling might be an issue of why some of these services are not happening. And I don't know if Southbury is having any problems with that either, but they don't receive any money anymore from this grant, so it's hard to know.
This is Margie speaking. Just something that I just kind of I just was thinking too. I think the budget would have been more like you would have seen the more realistic numbers because we changed the meeting times. It used to be January was our first meeting, so you would have had that quarter would have ended. So then you would have had the amounts for January meeting, and each quarter when you would have had the meeting, you would have had the amounts. You know, so.
Now, this is Carol. Even with the January meeting, with the budget needing to go out with the minutes and the meeting invite, it's still roughly like 6 weeks in advance that I asked fiscal to pull that report. So it's always going to be behind because I asked for it in advance so we can go out so everybody has the information prior to the meeting.
I have a question, Anna Tyler. I'm just curious if it's possible to do, say, a questionnaire to all the clients to find out if they're truly getting the help. I mean, this is money that's provided for the client. If we can ask them how are they doing, what their needs are, rather than some of this going to staffing. Like, for example, CAN, quite a large number there. I hope that they're getting the benefits practice. That's my only concern.
So, Hannah, this is Margie speaking. So yes. That's one of the things that I have been trying to do. There are a number of clients that are not getting any services because there are no SSPs. There is nobody to provide the service for them. Some use HomeSign. Some use technology, texting. Some use a deafblind communication device. There is nobody to provide those services. The vendor CAN has been trying to get SSPs that, again, there are some of you that are being, that are part of the contract on CAN. They're getting excellent services, like services, wonderful services. But then there are several, I mean, I actually have a multitude of people that are not getting any services because there's nobody to provide them. And I struggle with trying to find SSPs for them. I struggle to find, you know, our vendors, some of the vendors that have contracted separately to try to get some services for their loved one, they're not having any successes as well, trying to get people to get services. So there's a shortage everywhere from interpreters to SSPs to just right across the board. I don't know what to do to get those people, you know, services. I really don't. Any kind of help would be great.
This is Barbara. This seems to be the situation throughout the disability field. I have, with two adult children and with disabilities, whether it's home staffing or the programs they're in, whatever instance, there is, are very, very many staffing issues. And I don't know, no one seems to know what the answer is, where to find people who are interested in going into this field, because at this time, there is a real shortage. And I think that has a lot to do with people not really being served as well as they should be.
And this is Lisa. Just a moment. Let me spotlight her. This is Lisa Flaherty Vaughn. I want to make sure that I'm understanding correctly. I'm hearing all of this conversation about the concerns and issues, a lot of pros and cons. I want to focus on the SSP issue. A lot of the older people are used to the things that the way things have been, and we've had SSPs who have gotten older who have retired. Sometimes we have newer people who are uncomfortable with the tactile because of the whole issue with COVID. We also have some people who want to be SSPs, but they don't have the, they can't provide the insurance because the insurance is going to go up on, you know, their private insurance will go up if they're going to be a driver. So there are different kinds. And so then there, we have some SSPs who don't have the communication skill to provide that level of access. So there are a lot of different concerns of why there's a lot of issues with getting the appropriate staffing.
So, this is Margie. I agree with you, Lisa, but I don't know what to do about it. I really don't know. Maybe I see that Ed Pelletier is here from CAN. Maybe he can speak to that.
And is this Chris? Can I just suggest that we seem to have transitioned to our next agenda item, which is a report from CAN on SSP recruitment. So, but I think we should just recognize that and ask Ed to speak to that, and then we can discuss it more generally.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm pinch hitting for Sue Pedersen today. I'm on the CAN board. We shared with BESBE recently our continuing challenges, frustration related to recruiting and training SSPs, as Lisa mentioned. I mean, it's a challenge. What we pay hourly, these are part-time contracted employees, no benefits. So we're competing with people who have opportunities for similar pay, but probably with benefits. So I think part of it is a wage and benefit issue to be competitive and to find qualified, committed people. You've got to be competitive in the wage benefit area, and that's a challenge for us, as I'm sure it is for many organizations. But people working at ASD or Oak Hill who may have the skills are probably earning equal hourly wages, but have benefits that our contracted employees don't. So wage and benefit issue, I think, goes to the heart of being able to recruit and retain qualified people.
Okay, everyone,
Lisa, this is Lisa here. I wanted to respond. I know that it's difficult to afford the class first insurance, and know it's required by the law to have insurance for safety and protection reasons, but there's really not enough money to be doing that, so there's a problem with the insurance as well.
Speaking, so maybe go on to the next topic, because I don't know, you know, where this is going.
Yeah, is there any, Ed, is there any more update on the on specific progress in recruiting additional SSPs since we last met, you know?
No, we're re-advertising and trying to make sure that we cover all potential areas where candidates might be, colleges and others, and so we're reposting, re-advertising, and of course today, with all of the people here, word of mouth, anybody knows anyone, have them contact the CAN office, and that would be helpful. So word of mouth, as well as our effort to repost, re-advertise with colleges, etc.
Great. We did have another item that CAN asked if they could bring to the attention of the steering committee, and I was going to suggest that we could discuss that now. While we're hearing from CAN's representative in any case about something else. Ed, do you want to bring that forward before we go on to the remainder of the agenda?
Yes, go ahead.
I believe we're talking about recently the peer mentoring idea that we submitted.
Yes. Yeah,
we've talked. Thank you for bringing that up, and we apologize for submitting a proposal on this idea at the last minute, but we'd like the committee to consider it. We've had discussions for a period of time, particularly after COVID, about opportunities under the community inclusion umbrella to provide people with more opportunities to meet, engage in social interaction, but also training workshops. We submitted a proposal called Peer Mentoring. We met with BESB, and thanks to Carol Jenkins for some advice and clarification on this. We developed a proposal that would bring together deafblind people. We have a facility in Greater Hartford that's accessible and has the appropriate amenities. We have some private funding that can go toward this effort. We're asking BESB for consideration of additional funding. The proposal had people coming in 2 days a week, part-time, something like 9 to 1, 9 to 12:30, wouldn't provide lunch. There would be a variety of activities ranging from just peer-to-peer opportunities for social interaction to card games, table games, to workshops on health-related issues, workshops on deaf community updates, that kind of thing. We would hire a coordinator. The proposal has some funding for interpreters. And of course each deafblind client has a limit of allocation of $10,000. Some of that would be on the individual basis would be used to bring people in with their SSP, recognizing the fact that there is a limit and they may have other needs, the health meetings, etc., shopping, etc. In a nutshell, that's kind of it. An opportunity for social interaction, workshops, increased effort to reduce social isolation. We think there's a mental health benefit here. People are out in the community interacting, learning more about the health system, etc. And we think it's a quality of life issue, and we would like to see the proposal considered. There is a budget that we've put together, and as I said, we have some community foundation funding already in place, and we're looking to do additional work for additional community foundation funding. So thank you again for the opportunity to share that.
I have a question. Hannah Tyler, that sounds like a fabulous idea. I do have a question, though, about I'm not familiar with what you do in your organization for the clients right now, you know, during the day. Do you provide additional activities currently right now? Is it beyond that, or what do you provide right now for them?
Yes, it would be in addition to what we do now. There are periodic deafblind group once a month, once every 2 month meetings where they discuss issues of concern. But most